Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do it. You are in the loop. Sports Radio 610. I just had to find another explanation.
I like when you do that.
I felt like I was leaning too much on one as opposed to others. Lean a lot on these five fellas, John Lopez and Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atatula, getting you going on a Tuesday. And lots of things popping, but it's real chill when it comes to your Texans. 5-1, got a big victory. Everything's happy around these parts for the most part. There's some questions that we'll get into those things as things go along. A little defensive tackle swap. Some talk about who indeed is the best quarterback you'll face this year, but nothing as scandalous and spectacular as some of the things that we're seeing elsewhere around the NFL. Always getting involved in the program. Mm-hmm. The YouTube and the Twitch are both available for you. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. Get involved. Talk with your fellow listener, your fellow Sports Radio 610 listener. Great folks that we have that enjoy the program. But then also get involved with us on the show. Texting into the text line 713-572-4610. Where, hey, if you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock, Devontae Adams was not very happy in Las Vegas.
Had that bad hamstring, though.
You know what? That's right. My bad. I forgot. It wasn't about him being unhappy. You know, he just had a little bit of injury that popped up that he couldn't play. We'll see how healthy he is now that he is actually going to become a member of the New York Jets, rejoin with his former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, after they got they lost last night in what was a comical game. I feel like primetime.
Ugly game.
It was ugly, but it was funny if you were not involved with either of those teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like primetime division games almost have an edict by the league that they have to be comical in that way.
Yeah.
But Devontae Adams will parachute in and try to rescue the Jets, who are have all sorts of turmoil that has been covered in a big way. But Devontae Adams will join the Jets. Mm-hmm. It is for a conditional third round pick, is what you've said.
Yeah, and it could be a second if he's all pro first or second team. He's on the active roster for the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl. So pretty high standard there, but still, it looks like it'll be a third round pick.
And of course, I think the reason why you get that particular compensation is because the Raiders seemingly will carry none of the money. All that money will transfer over to the Jets when it comes to, I guess, on the prorated situation, like whatever is left of his contract. The Jets will pay the entirety of that. I imagine they feel okay with that because
why not?
They're in such turmoil. Yeah. They got to see if they can find something, and they're not going to... they're probably not going to pick up additional years, so I guess we'll figure out down the road. But really the big thing about it, because here I am just talking about the Jets in Houston. This is your opponent in 2 weeks. You will face off against the New York Jets on Halloween night, Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime. And so what does this change about the Halloween matchup? What does this change? What does this fix for the Jets, or does it fix the Jets? What does it mean for the Raiders? All those things up in the air here as Devontae Adams officially gets a deal that sends him to the Jets.
Well, this game kind of, I'm not trying to be dramatic here. You guys know I'm not that. I just tell you what I think. It does scare me a little bit, that game, all of a sudden. And the reasons are obvious. First of all, number one, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers backs up against the wall. They are still in that division race. By the way, it's not a very strong division, so they're in it. They could have used the win yesterday, but as you mentioned, that was a nasty game for them. But it's a Thursday night game in New York. So you're not only having a short week, you're traveling to New York. Their last experience in New York was not a good one. Figgy and I were there in the rain. That game gets a little scarier for me. It really does.
Yeah, I think the fellas on the morning show were mentioning this, is that clearly the benefit of this is, one, you can always talk about the relationship that Devontae has with Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and I think they can get to the more advanced levels of what an offense with Aaron Rodgers looks like, because he has all these secret signs. I know the Kalen Kaler.
He can get him with a look.
Yeah, has talked about how he has these audibles that he doesn't even really teach his wide receivers. He just expects you to learn and pick up on, which is an asinine way of going about things. But ultimately, it works for them.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams is probably a PhD level in that type of stuff.
Yes.
You drop him into this, and that is a unique relationship. But then also, they go from having probably one dominant wide receiver to having two dominant wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And remind me again, when it comes to injuries on this team and things that you're dealing with, what is one of those places that's concerns?
That would be cornerback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that does add an additional challenge that the Jets will pose mm-hmm. against this Texans team come Halloween. Now, hopefully there's a level of positive information that we continue to get on Kamari and the rest of this secondary, obviously Jimmy Ward, those types of guys. But even then, I think that there is a little susceptibility in this defensive backfield that you would have to then be hoping that your front line kind of helps compensate for, because you're adding another really, really difficult player to corral for that Halloween game.
Well, and the other part is, you know, there is one report out there about Lassiter perhaps being a longer-term deal. That is problematic when you have Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. And oh, by the way, it's on the other side of the ball, but it's hugely significant. Nico Collins won't be back until the next week.
Yeah.
against the Lions. So it is for me, it's like, okay, that just got really, because I was pretty much not definitely chalking up that one as a win.
Really?
You know, yeah, because I think by then they'll with no Devontae Adams and maybe no momentum, if they get any in the next couple of weeks, they might be in train wreck position. Their new head coach doesn't know how to coach penalties. and he is an interim coach. So I was actually feeling pretty good about it. And then all of a sudden it changes in the blink of an eye.
Well, I do wonder if as you progress further away from the Jets parting with Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbricht, his tenure, further into his tenure as the interim, if that would help them get a little bit better. Because defensively last night, they were all over the place. You mentioned they were kind of not disciplined in some ways as they lost 23-20 to the Bills. And I did wonder if defensively that did not look as good because of what one of the things that we talked about earlier, which is Ulbricht was the defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that he was I don't know whether he was calling plays or not. I honestly don't recall. But within that, he now has to call plays, whether he was doing that or not, but also having to manage a game as a head coach.
Yeah.
That's not something that's easy, particularly if you haven't done it before.
In the middle of a season.
Right, in the midst of a season, there's not a bye week for him to like kind of get a mm-hmm. feel for it. He was dropped in, they did this on Tuesday, right? So he didn't get the benefit of Monday being at the helm of things. They had to go very quickly into practice and getting themselves ready for what's happening with all of this. This is a tough situation for him. So I do wonder if he finds a little bit of equilibrium mm-hmm. in balancing those things.
Well, this helps.
Over the next couple of weeks. And, hey, I can manage the team now that I have a little bit more time doing it and still call the defense to where maybe their defense finds their footing again, because they didn't look very good defensively.
No, like I said, in the blink of an eye, it all changes, which is kind of life in the NFL when these things happen. But look, it stands to reason that now he's going to get his feet under him a little bit. I think it's not nearly as much of a factor as all of a sudden having Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. And who knows what the status is going to be with Lassiter.
So the Raiders are cooked, right?
Raiders are cooked. Big time. No, they're done. I mean, they were already, weren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Because, like, who do they have?
Who was their quarterback?
Yeah. That's a great question, Fig. I don't know. I don't know who. You might be the quarterback if you really want to be out there. The Raiders officially let go of him, Devontae Adams. They probably should have made this move earlier, though. Like, that felt mm-hmm. like a team that was trying to do some level of competition that they had no business doing as well. And Antonio Pierce, good luck with that. But, the Jets add Devontae Adams, and that is an opponent that you have coming up. It was kind of funny because watching this game, sometimes you watch these games, and a lot of times, in fact, I should say, you watch these games with an eye on what they mean for the local team, for the hometown squad.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, watching that game, I was like, man, you already faced the Bills. I would like it if you were still coming up on the Bills at some point as well, still, like, watching that.
Last night, you mean?
Yeah. Neither of these teams looked particularly good, and you mentioned the penalties. Just how much of that do you put on each of these teams? Is it over 200 yards of penalties?
I think the Jets had 11, and it was over 200 yards.
Like a ref show.
I was just about to say.
No.
It felt as if this was one of those where they were just calling everything anyway. And we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers about that in just a little bit, because he made quite the reference. It felt like it was going to go that way anyway. But some of those were just dumb, man. Some of those, it was an ugly game.
Very, very ugly game that happened. Aaron Rodgers did throw for 294, two touchdowns, an interception in the course of it. Josh Allen, 215, two touchdowns, solid. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to pretend like he was bad. But yeah, that very much
had that Hail Mary too.
Man, how does Aaron Rodgers do this?
Luck.
You think it's, I don't know if it's luck. He does this way too frequently for
No, he's really good at it, but maybe he's really good at the ball bouncing his way. I mean, it's just like some of them. Well, first of all, you have to have the arm strength. They have to have the right, you know, people out there. But for different teams to do it like that and the ball bouncing just right to fall into his receiver's hands, come on. That's just one of those knacks that you have that's maybe a little bit of luck. I'd take it.
Yeah, no, I mean, in that instance, you absolutely need it. Somebody you mentioned on the text line, and always get involved. Jets would have won if they did not miss those two kicks. Yeah, both these teams were missing kicks consistently. How does that make you feel about Kaimi? Like, I understand that he had the miss, and you were talking about yesterday the idea of, hey, let's not make that a habit. I think the reminder sometimes that kicking in the NFL is not as automatic as sometimes we want it to be, especially as a lot of people I saw during the course of this game started sending jokes, although some people I do wonder how much it was jokingly, that like kickers are not people and all of these things. Like sometimes we get into the space where kickers are not actually football players and you only have one job, so you should make it. But how do you then feel? Does this at all recontextualize Kaimi for you?
No, look, I have a world of confidence in Kaimi Fairbairn. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is you don't want these things. The thing about the kicking is it's such a mental game. That once it starts spiraling out of control, it tends to continue to do that for a while, if not until you get to a new spot. So that's all I'm saying is, like, let's slam a couple 56, 57 yarders through the uprights to get back on track here is what I'm saying.
I very much tried to appreciate, or maybe I just generally try to appreciate when somebody when you have a situation like that, because I was like, ooh, yeah, I forget that it can go downhill really south with some of these kickers. And so, yeah, I just appreciate, again, how relatively consistent comparatively to the rest of the league Kaimi has been in the course of this. The Jets did not really, 149 yards rushing. Ray Davis kind of had some fun doing that. Does that give you any little level of encouragement against this Jets team? And again, I know they didn't play particularly well here. I have kind of hypothesized that maybe they get themselves a little bit together. But considering Joe Mixon is back and the ways that the offense looked running the football against the Patriots, do you then kind of add two and two together and say maybe you'll be able to tote the ball pretty well against the Jets?
Oh, for sure. Especially given what they've done and have found with Damian Pierce. My thing with the Jets is before this happened this morning, they were a team that had already fired a coach, in disarray in a lot of ways, sort of searching for answers.
Yeah.
They had the Hassan Reddick thing. By the way, they've granted permission for him to seek a trade.
Didn't even get into that part.
Yeah, so, you know, they were a team in disarray. And maybe I'm just sort of getting full of myself here, but I was counting that as a win. I think this kind of changes everything, as I mentioned earlier, and I feel like, if they get their legs under them a little bit, that might be on national television at home against the contending team against the Texans. That's going to be one where they can rally.
Yeah. From the 713, love seeing Aaron Rodgers fail. His snarky prima donna attitude is so annoying. How much of that, like, do you also exist in? Because one of the things is Aaron Rodgers also sometimes, well, petulant is a word that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And in sometimes where you're dealing with a child that might be petulant, all right, well, I will appease them. And I feel like that's some of what Davante Adams is. I think they're trying to speak to some of the things that they're trying to fix. Do you think that makes him, that stops him from being petulant? I think that's ultimately what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. It's like, does this fix whatever is awry with them?
No, it's going to be
him in particular.
It's going to be something else all of a sudden. And I'm not in a place where I want to see Aaron Rodgers fail. To me, he's an eye roll. Like he's just like, oh, brother. Here he goes on something else now. You know, it's just one of those things where he can't. He's one of those guys that is a very smart person, but doesn't recognize that anyone else is smart.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate that. That's what Tom Herman was. They mentioned Tom Herman was. He was an extremely smart person.
Mensa man.
Yeah.
As I like to call him.
Mensa man. But he didn't acknowledge that anybody else could possibly be smart or as smart as him. That's what Aaron Rodgers is. Like, he's such a deep thinker. Sure. If you're telling me you're a deep thinker and you're giving me all these examples, you're probably petulant, as you said, and something of an eye roll.
So, yeah.
For me.
Again, the Raiders finalizing a deal to trade Davante Adams to the Jets. I imagine, well, we'll see if he's able to play in a couple weeks. You know, he is dealing with that hamstring.
Yeah, he's got
to
get that hammy. He's got to get that hammy well. Although I did see him running into the building this morning. He's already in the building. Like, don't tell me that Aaron Rodgers, you know he's going to be asked about it. And he's going to be, oh, you know.
What, on McAfee?
Is that today? Tomorrow. I think.
I have no idea.
I just work here.
I'll keep a winning.
I just found out when y'all found out.
That's exactly what he's going to say. I found out when y'all found out. Dude is in the building today. He was probably spending the night at Aaron Rodgers' house.
I bet. That's exactly something I thought earlier.
Yeah, he was probably at his house.
Yeah, so it'll be.
Kind of keep it on the down low.
Right. Raiders will get a conditional third round pick that could turn into a second round pick if some all pros come through for Davante Adams, and the Jets will take all of that money on.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Jets getting a loss, but ultimately getting their guy and wide receiver Davante Adams. 713. Aaron Rodgers does have power, unlike what he claimed last game, but he's still the problem. And we'll see what that looks like, because again, that is somewhere that you will be. Where we saw Monday Night Football, the Texans will be there in just a couple of weeks. It'll be the 31st of October. That is Halloween night, and it'll be spooky, hopefully, for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. As somebody was mentioning, he's old and can't move, and that might be an opportunity for a continual teeing off between Danielle and Will Anderson. A junior.
So no, yeah. He's not what he once was, but he's still very, very, very good by any account.
Now, of course, that's for later, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a couple of weeks. You still have a road trip to the Packers here shortly. But yeah, somebody said, now you can stop crying. Good luck with that.
I've got a question for you and Figgy.
Okay.
You just reminded me.
Sure.
Because you know me, I keep the schedule in front of me. And I'm always playing that game.
Honestly, I should do the same.
In my mind. So I was thinking today, is it safe to assume the Texans are going to win three of their next four division games?
Oh, we're playing schedule game?
No, because here's
Division games. Okay.
Division games.
Gotcha.
Because after this, after Green Bay, they have Indianapolis.
They have the Colts in there. Yeah.
They have the Indianapolis.
At home.
Then they have Tennessee at home, and then at Jacksonville, which is a complete bleep show. So that could be three division wins right there, and then they end the season at Tennessee. Who knows if they're going to be checked out?
Yeah, that's a good
question. So is it safe to say they can win three of their next four?
Can, absolutely.
Or will win three of the next four division games.
I still feel good about that. I think you're coming up on some questions where I know Nico is probably not going to be active for that Colts game.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you have all the things that you need, plus the Colts can't stop the run. That's probably the biggest test within these teams.
Yeah.
And I feel like you'll probably be able to handle up on them in a couple of weeks.
Figgy?
So, yeah. I
think so. Yeah, I think so.
They're going to win three of the next four division games.
I'd put that. Yeah. Money on that.
And that's saying a lot, too.
Well, here's where I'm going with that. That's eight wins.
That's eight wins there.
So, they only have seven other games. I believe it's seven other games. If you win four of those, you're at 12, brother. You got 12 wins.
I like what we're doing here.
You know what I mean?
I like it a lot.
If you just go 4-3, I got it right in front of me. Green Bay, Jets, Lions, Cowboys, Dolphins, Chiefs, and Baltimore. Yeah, seven games. If you go 4-3 there, you got 12 wins.
I like what we're doing here.
Right?
Yeah.
That puts you way up there.
Yeah, that puts you maybe right up there at the top of the AFC, depending. Yeah. So, especially as we talked about with Ron yesterday, it doesn't feel like there's any particular great team in the league right now. You might be standing damn near atop the mountaintop by the time you get there. So,
and I think 12 is their franchise record for wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it again. Why not?
Let's get 13. Screw it. Why are we here?
Exactly. 5-2. You're at 13. Hey.
Let's do it. So there you go. We're getting ready for, not getting ready for anything right now. Getting ready for this next segment here in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Danico Autry back, baby.
That's the good news.
Danico Autry is returning. And apparently we had to swap. Somebody made a deal with the devil or whatever. Mario Edwards. suspension. What the hell is happening there? We'll discuss it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yeah. Hope you're having a terrific Tuesday here. You're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. This is John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. We got you till 2, as always. I'm so excited for what Fig has in the mixtape at 120. You don't want to miss it.
Oh, man.
Because I happened to walk over by his desk as he was working this morning, and I was like,
no.
I got distracted for a couple of minutes on what he was working on, so
yeah.
It'll be fun. It will be fun.
Got something else that's funny, too, man.
Oh, really?
I can't wait to get to it.
You let your hair down today. What's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted a different feel?
Yeah, just time for it to breathe.
Let it breathe a little bit.
Excellent. Breathable Tuesday is what we'll call it.
Yeah.
I'll probably only call it that one time.
No, we'll do it again.
Man, what a good vibe that we just generally have after, there's not much to complain about. I mean, if you really wanted to, there's definitely some things to nitpick on, and we have, and we will. But generally, good vibes around the
Texans, we're counting
right?
12 wins. Lock it up.
Yeah. We were doing the schedule game earlier, and 12 wins would have had you second place in the AFC last year and would have tied you for the best record in the NFC last year.
Let's go for 13.
Let's go for 13.
So, like the lady in the window on Coming to America.
Why not a cool million?
Let's go for a cool million.
You know? For sure. Yeah. What a great time to be alive. And it gets even better because a lot of people, there's kind of various milestones you set for yourself in the course of a season. And for Texans fans, one of those was week 7 after week 6 because of a 6-week suspension that Danico Autry was dealing with. Well, we have reached that point. So Danico Autry, one of your offseason acquisitions, is now available, and he will indeed practice. So super excited to get Danico Autry onto the field. I mean, he brings a lot of stuff. In fact, if we can get D'Amico cut 7 from yesterday, D'Amico Ryan's head coach of this team, was talking about what Danico Autry brings to this defensive line once he does indeed return.
Yeah, Danico is coming off the suspension. He'll fit right in very smoothly. He understands how we play, our style of play. Danico has been productive pass rusher in his league for a long time. He had over 10 sacks last year, so I'm expecting him to just pick up where he left off, just come in being disruptive, playing the way he plays. He plays hard, he plays relentless, and he fits right in with our group.
First of all, when I heard that, I forgot, dude had 10 and a half sacks.
Yeah. I was afraid to say it out loud, but I'm glad you did, because I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's a monster. Cool.
Nah, I remember when we first signed him. Yeah. I was just like, dang. I'm like, we got Danielle Hunter. Got Will Anderson Jr. I'm like, dog, where is he going to play?
Well, we argued about, is he going to be another end?
He's
going inside.
Hey, just go down there somewhere. Just at the quarterback.
Yeah, get in there. Apply pressure. I mean, even at the worst, D'Amico likes rotating, and Matt Burke. I try, and whenever we're talking about the defense, make sure that Matt Burke's
feel bad for
he
Matt
gets
Burke.
No love,
I feel
man.
Bad for
I'm
Matt
like,
Burke.
I am going to be the designated Matt Burke you know, I was about to say love giver, and that's a crazy way of saying that. But, you know.
Fanboy?
That's a little far. Help me workshop this.
He's a Matt Burke fanboy.
But I'm trying to give Matt Burke his appropriate due, because it feels like don't nobody give Matt Burke that love.
He's the white defensive Eric Bieniemy at this point. And getting no credit.
Dude, that's a great.
That's crazy.
I can't get any interviews.
Yeah.
Hey, the brother is going to have to leave and go somewhere else and call his own defense.
Yeah, this defense. Is my defense. Yeah. But yeah, those guys like rotating guys in defensively. So you imagine Danico Autry would get, you know, just rotation, whether it's inside, outside. It might be a lot of inside because one guy comes off a suspension, another one goes off and goes in. And, like, honestly, we didn't even get any level of questions about it into D'Amico or anybody who had done it. Because
it was after.
They let us know after.
Yeah.
And there's no team statement about this that Mario Edwards Jr. Will not be available for the next 4 weeks because he violated the NFL substance abuse policy.
Okay. You put it perfectly there.
I try.
It wasn't PEDs.
No, because D'Amico Autry, I feel like I have to make sure I say his last name because D'Amico sounds like D'Amico. Yeah. And you might not even heard the difference in what I just said. But Autry comes off of a PED suspension. That's what's 6 games.
Yeah.
This 4-game suspension is for this violation of the substance abuse policy, which obviously is not PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it, Lopez?
Well, it's not weed, right?
No, that is one thing that they do not. They don't test for THC.
Yeah. So I was digging in far too much, but I think it does offer some clarity for what it is. There is a big difference. There's clarity and there's confusion. The clarity is it's not performance enhancing drugs.
So he wasn't cheating.
Yeah. So the confusion is
all that pressure was real.
Substance abuse, and I dug into the policy, and dude, it really really gets into, like, if you do this, you get suspended. If you do this again, You have to enter a mandatory 90-day counseling or whatever it is, program from the NFL. And I'm going to read from the policy because this is just a little bit. It's like a 41-page thing.
Yeah.
This is just a little bit. It says...
You read 41 pages?
No, I did not. I skimmed. Okay. The NFL substance abuse policy protects player health by clearly defining substance abuse and providing an intervention program, that's the word I was looking for players in need. Players are prohibited, this is the key part here, from the use, possession, or distribution of illegal drugs, as well as the abuse of prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, and alcohol. So I'm like...
I hadn't even considered the idea that maybe it's just alcohol. But it just sounds wild.
How is that a 4-game suspension? I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I was looking up some stuff too. Like, I guess they got like Adderall, little stuff like that that's on there. Yeah. Well, and I don't know anybody's personal life, but...
But that's, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, Adderall, like that. Opioids, kind of.
Yeah, the other thing that I clipped, Figgy, says it includes but not limited to cocaine, synthetic cannabinoids, opiates, and opioids. So I'm like, we're not casting any aspersions here.
No, because obviously I think the policy exists to try and help players and make sure that they are not, you know, falling victim to these substances.
But this is confusing,
corrosive.
Right?
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be something where it could have been a miscommunication where maybe he is on something that's supposed to be prescribed, but some type of miscommunication.
That probably would not lead us to suspension in that instance,
four-game suspension.
Right? Like, I think that would be something that.
But sometimes, we see it often, especially with PEDs, where somebody, you know, trusts their trainer on something.
Yeah,
or at least that's the story.
But that's more PED thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, this is so wide open. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. Like, I don't want to sit here and call him a drug addict.
No, I would never do that. No. But I mean, like, he found his way into the substance abuse policy, so he'll have 4 weeks away, which. That really stinks. Can you, I guess, maybe look at it as a positive at the time that it hits?
Well, the timing is absolutely a positive.
But that really...
100%.
It really does stink because it felt like he was hitting his groove in a way that I don't think we expected coming into the season. Mm-hmm. And it would have been even better, especially as you head into the stretch where you're dealing with some tough quarterbacks, to have just a mass of guys that get after the quarterback, because he had applied great pressure. D'Amico Autry then comes in and adds pressure, in addition to Will Anderson Jr. finding a way to make sure to get the quarterback down and start stacking to the sack tally. Yeah. Neil Hunter having an important sack. Like, that would have been a crazy, addition to what you have. And unfortunately, it kind of dampers that a little bit.
It's just confusing. And I promise you, when D'Amico Ryans, now you got me saying D'Amico.
Sorry.
When D'Amico Ryans is talking about this tomorrow, he's not going to, and nor should he, offer any like clarity on exactly what it is. But it does lead to like, okay, this is weird. Like this is weird. But the main thing is, the timing was good, and hopefully that's that after the suspension.
Yeah, and I guess if you are looking for silver linings, Fernando from the YouTube has one that he's going to try on for size, which is not like the Rio suspension, but first of all, before we go any further, press pause. Are we all in on Rio as nickname?
Oh, 100%.
Here? Okay.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, so
Since Will Anderson.
Yeah, so and Will Anderson, he hopped on the show and he said Rio, and everybody was looking at each other like, who in the hell is
yeah.
Like, oh, Mario Edwards. Okay. we ain't really take Mario Edwards that serious.
And everybody who's Mario, they get that Rio, and I'm like, okay, are we doing that? Sure. Mm-hmm. But okay, back to the YouTube comment. Don't like the Rio suspension. But it does free up a spot on the 53-man roster for D'Nico Autry to come back without having to cut someone.
Sure.
And I guess that is true.
Mm-hmm.
If we're trying to try on for size silver lining. So that just kind of a weird thing that happened there. I was a little disappointed, and not in like a big way. I don't know what the right word is to kind of soften, to accurately describe the feelings that I was having.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I thought they were going to be able to tee off in a big way.
Oh, for sure.
With the whole compliment. But mm-hmm. I still think that excited to see D'Nico Autry return. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait 4 weeks for the entire compliment to be all together. All right. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Stop speculating on what it was that got the man popped, okay? Can we just respect his privacy in these trying times?
Oh, you knew that was coming.
Can you not? All right, guys.
Rumor has it.
Yeah.
Look at y'all being messy. That's what y'all are, messy.
Yes.
Do better. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into the question of the day. And in honor of a Sarcastaball reference, one that I was not familiar with,
mm-hmm.
What's your favorite children's game? And bonus points for made up ones. 713-572-4610. Let's do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Y'all's conspiracies on Mario Edwards Jr. are crazy.
They're brutal.
A wildin'. No, this was not a conspiracy to get him off the roster for 4 weeks without create a spot. Because see, that man is losing like $360,000.
It's almost 400, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So,
and he would have been one you wanted to keep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot easier to just go to the back end of your 53.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't want to say easy as someone like losing their job in that instance, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, easy for everybody, but the guy losing his job.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which, respectfully,
mm-hmm.
let me sprinkle some respectfullies on there to make sure that people know I'm not being cavalier. All right. Yeah. Let's get to our question of the day. We do this every day. Not this particular question, but just the question of the day. But last night we had Monday Night Football, in which the Buffalo Bills comedically triumphed over the New York Jets at the Meadowlands, or MetLife Stadium, I guess is the way that I'd say that, 23-20. And after, or actually during the course of this, a cacophony is the word that I'll use.
There you go.
Just to be verbose for no reason. Just an ungodly amount of penalties came through in this game. And Aaron Rodgers, he ain't like that.
You're going to drop that on Christina today, aren't you?
Yeah, I should. She's going to look at me crazy.
A hoops?
Yeah, like, so, who told you that?
Just blame Reggie. Just always blame Reggie. You know what? That's, you have a get-out-of-jail-free card. If you need to blame me, just go for it. But this is Aaron Rodgers talking about just the ungodly amount of penalties.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. Might as well play Sarcastaball if we're going to call those things.
Sarcastaball.
The one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either. So.
Sarcastaball.
Yeah, so he was not pleased with the officiating, but Sarcastaball. I didn't even know what that was. I was like, oh, what's that?
Yeah, that was big in, very big in South Park. And basically what it is they wanted to, they were mocking the NFL. And so they created a playground game called Sarcastaball, where every kid wore a tinfoil hat. Instead of carrying a football, they carried a balloon. In case they fell on it, it would pop. and you basically didn't tackle people. You were just sarcastically mocking them as they played the game. So it was taking all the violence and the hitting out of the game.
So pretty much put a dress on them.
Actually, they said put a bra on them.
Oh,
that was one of the rules. You put a bra on each kid.
So you've watched it then.
Sorry.
All right. So what were your favorite children's games? And of course, because Sarcastiball is a made up one, bonus points for made up games.
Well, the one that I thought of, it was not made up by us, but it took over the playground when I was like in fourth or fifth grade. You remember the TV show Fat Albert?
Yes, vaguely.
Yeah. So Fat Albert was big when I was in elementary school, and they had a game called Buck Buck. And it was the most brutal, heinous game in the that you could imagine. So it's a line of like six or eight kids. They're each grabbing the person in front of them, their waist. And you kind of hunch over, you know, you're kind of leaning down and you're grabbing the person in front of your waist. And the front person is grabbing a tree. All right.
Okay.
And so the other team, all six of, all right.
So it's just a chain of people holding on to a tree.
Okay. And then holding on to a tree, the front person. So the other team would run and elbows flying, knees flying, bounce on, you know, jump on top of the line of kids and try to break the chain. So if you broke the chain.
Oh, so this is like sadistic Red Rover.
Yes, sadistic Red Rover.
Okay,
it's
very
called
good.
Buck Buck. And I tell you, for about 2 years there when I was on the
2 years?
It took over the playground. Like, it took over, and there were kids bloodied and battered and broken noses and fat lips. And ultimately, after a while, the teacher said, no more Buck Buck. But
y'all needed the teachers to come and tell
y'all that? It was brutal. Hey, man, Red Rover, you're basically clotheslining kids.
You just described people giving the people's elbow to each other.
That's exactly what it was. You go with your elbow or your knee, try to break the chain. And it was brutal, man.
Nothing like that's going to pop up as my favorite. Maybe me and you were just different in the way that no way I would have kept playing that game. Figgy, for you, is there a children's game that you, poor baby indeed. Was there a children's game that you enjoyed a ton?
I don't even know if I would call this a children's game.
Okay.
Because we were like.
Don't you get out here saying like spades or something.
No. I was thinking, me as a teenager, we used to play a game called Manhunt.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like older kids hide and go seek. So you running all over the neighborhood pretty much. So it's like one group of people and another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we count to like 60. And we like all over the hood, like everywhere, like streets and streets and streets over. And we looking for them. If we find somebody, we got to run and actually beat them up physically.
Oh, wow. Like, okay. Like, there's the physical the ribs.
So we beat them up. And then now they on our team. So we got to find the other ones. So it was really Manhunt. Like, people would be on roofs. People would be all over the place, man. It was like really a man. Like, we would be stomping people out. It was wild, man.
I'm telling you, they don't make games like they used to, do they?
Yeah.
I wonder if people still play that.
Yeah, there's like, you know, health and safety elements apparently is why we don't do that. From the 832, best childhood game for sure, curveball. If you know, you know, throwing the basketball at the curb.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think I played very much curveball personally. Mm-hmm. Someone else mentioned a game that I'm not even sure. Oh, Manhunt. There's support coming in from Manhunt. They know what you are on. From the 713, they said they played a game called Six Man Booger Bear, which, what?
What is that?
Ooh. Basically, an enhanced tackle the man with the ball, with each person having their own goal.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I didn't realize tackle the man with the ball had a goal. I thought it was just keep going until somebody beats you up.
I'm just glad they used that name.
Yeah, shout out to y'all.
Not the other
Did
one.
Anybody come up with one that actually rolled off the tongue that was not potentially either homophobic or just really weird? Did anybody come up with one of those names?
But see, I used to say Dino Man.
Dino Man?
Yeah, Dino Man.
Mm-hmm. Never heard that's that. How we, but that's the same. Okay.
It was the same thing.
Yeah.
So I never even heard that term, y'all.
Oh, it was big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
used to say Dino Man.
I like that.
Yeah.
Of all the unnecessarily violent games that we have somehow stumbled into, that was the one that I had played. And I played, I hadn't played any of those ones. Well, actually, I played Manhunt before, just not a lot. The game that came to mind for me, and maybe I'm just real simple, I played the mess out of some wall ball. And I guess there was the physical element because, you end up with somebody on the wall and you spike the ball, hit him real hard with the tennis ball or whatever, because I don't know, kids are bad people, but I love me some wall ball, man.
It's really amazing that like generations mine and the one behind that one, you know, and maybe even the one behind that one, that so many kids are actually still alive.
You're just beating the hell out of each other.
Man, like, you should see, like, you should have saw how we used to play manhunt. Yeah. And when somebody get caught, their shirt be all ripped. And they be sitting here limping.
No
one. Like, all right, I seen Sammy over there.
How about King of the Hill?
You know, first of all, there's King of the Hill. And then there was, I don't know, this is silly, but we used to play King of the Hill on top of a jungle gym. So people would like roll down the jungle gym, on, you know, the bars. Like they'd be bump, bump, bump.
Storytime 75 rather on the YouTube played a game called Interception. QB would purposely make a high throw and somebody would take your legs out while in midair and you had to hold on to the ball for points. Okay.
So I
that's,
like that.
That's
actually
like jackpot but with defense.
Mm-hmm.
I like jackpot. I played a whole bunch of jackpot.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you fancied yourself a wide receiver, that was a fun game to play. somebody wall ball with a racquetball. Oh yeah. So that took it up another level because there was a little bit more tough. Texas softball cul-de-sac with softball with the basketball. Wait a minute, what? How are you hitting a basketball? Do I want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, elephant ball, which is baseball with the basketball. There's how many people were hitting basketballs with bats? How did that work?
Do they even play dodgeball anymore on playgrounds?
They got to.
Ah, I don't know.
It's everything.
Well, maybe not on playgrounds. I feel like that's more of a gym activity.
I think kids, they
with the little soft Nerf balls.
Yeah,
but the soft Nerf balls, like they're not the big round.
Remember those red?
Yeah,
those plastic were the ones we used.
Where you get hit in the face, you can hear that ringing.
Boing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of like the little Nerf balls because now it becomes more fast paced. It's like more agility involved. So love me.
713-572-4610. Are they allowing your kids to play dodgeball? I'll bet you they don't.
I think they
do
play
in the gyms.
I know
the last time I worked at it was high school too.
Yeah.
And they actually played dodgeball in the gym.
But that was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm wondering.
I think we're still.
I don't think they play it how we used to play it.
Yeah.
Four square comes up, fair enough. Yeah, okay, so now the table games are coming in. Our guy B Scott, he'll be joining us here shortly. Thumps and pencil break. Pencil break was an elite one. Especially
what's pencil break?
So it's really stupid, and I'm sure parents hated it because
you had to do a karate chop?
Not karate chop, but with your pencil, with another pencil, someone would hold their pencil across, and you had to
pencil break.
Yeah, flick your pencil to try and break their pencil.
We used to do that all.
And so you would take
that
turns
and spoon break.
Well, we used to use
spoon
our
spoon break.
We used to karate chop, and you'd all have a bruise. On
of
the
course
bottom
you did.
Of, your hand.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yeah, no, like, spoon break used to go hard. I didn't got trouble for that, man. Like we used to be playing for money.
Yeah.
We used to be in the corner. Nah. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. What I used to play for money was dice. Like I straight up had dice in school.
Yeah.
I was like I said,
in middle school we used to do flips, like flip quarters.
Oh yeah.
And now, if you land on heads just like the guy got, then you take the money.
Oh, okay. You
know, so it was like bad. I cleaned up on that, man.
Now, kickball, I thought I was elite at kickball for a little bit. But the game that I really disliked that I would not play with these other folks and probably why my hands are not as calloused as others, quarters, when like you flick them at your knuckles. Or is that knuckles? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
But I hated that. But yeah, that was another one of those kind of table games that people hand slap.
Somebody said bloody knuckles.
Bloody knuckles.
I played that.
I guarantee you that ain't played anymore.
we used to just be firing at each other knuckles, man. Just,
so what we've learned is kids games are just
SAWFT.
Yeah, you know, kids games are not for the soft.
They all on their phones.
Not the brain apart.
Yeah.
Knuckles. Bloody knuckles is name. Appreciate y'all. Man, all I learned is just we should not have been doing these things.
No, that's I don't know how we survived.
We came to this with like such good intentions. I'm like, hey, what did we do for fun? And apparently just hurt each other was what we did for fun. Was harm each other physically is what we did.
That's why where we are now. that's why we real men.
Is that what it is? Okay, that explains so many things. All right, that's the question of the day here in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Now y'all getting into car games. That's a whole different category.
Oh, yeah,
we'll do that that's a whole nother.
Another category. Tunk. All right. Yes, I've heard of that. Apparently, baseball players play that a lot.
Which
really?
One?
On Tunk.
Yeah, Tunk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's one of their. That's
Tunk and Spades is the only card games I know how to play.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. We'll get into that another day. I'm certain of it. I'll write it down right now. But coming up next, it's an hour that everybody looks forward to. B. Scott jumps in. We'll go around the NFL to start. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.